Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, and it is Wednesday, and we are definitely happy to be back with you. And as I promised on yesterday's show, I have a very special guest. He's from the Daily Memphian, one of the best sources of Grizzlies content in the city of Memphis, Mr. Drew Hill. Drew, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing great. I know that your schedule has opened up a little bit, as you certainly have earned it. I know you're probably missing basketball, but I imagine also enjoying, you know, a bit of freedom in the schedule to be able to do some things, to catch up on some things you've kind of set to the side.
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice. Now, I'll say this. Well, I'm going on vacation later this week. I'm going to Gatlinburg and going to have a cabin with a couple buddies that I'm going to go take a couple days off. I played golf here and there, although I'm a terrible golfer. So I am taking advantage of my time. But I will say, pretty soon I'm going to start on a couple, not Grizzlies-specific, but just basketball-specific enterprise projects here in Memphis that I'm really excited to get started on, and some other things. So I'll try and keep myself busy. But right now, with the players at home and everybody in what the world is going through, there's not a lot of Grizzlies news circulation, although maybe this is getting in front of, ahead of myself a little bit. I would not be surprised if we get some positive Grizzlies news very soon. And I think everyone can sort of assume that usually involves Ja Morant. I have a feeling that news will be coming very, very soon in terms of his Rookie of the Year announcement. So that, I think everybody can look forward to that. That's sort of next on the docket.
That actually is a good segue. I will say that on our next show here on Friday here on Locked On Grizzlies, we're actually going to break down just how special of a rookie year both Ja Morant and Brandon Clark, who should be runner-up, but we'll get into that some other time. But I agree with you, definitely awaiting that, ready to, you know, celebrate that, obviously, in general. And, you know, let's get right into it, Drew. You were, I watched it, after the fact, but you were a part of the end-of-the-year media sessions with both Coach Taylor Jenkins and General Manager Zach Kleiman. And one of the things that immediately just jumped out to me, as it is the case when either of those two gentlemen speak, is the word is preparedness, or just, you know, just the details that these guys go into that you know they've already gone into with the offseason now starting up. But in general, and a big contrast from the former regime, it just seems like that from the front office to the coaching staff to the roster, there is a chemistry and they're in sync. And that everybody in the organization not only knows the value of the work that needs to be done to build off the success that's happened this year, but they're also excited about it. That's a big, big positive characteristic that really makes me think that we're going to continue to exceed expectations. Does that kind of jump off the page to you when you were in these sessions with Jenkins and Kleiman?
Sure. That's one of the takeaways. It is interesting, right? Those both Taylor and Zach are extremely careful people when it comes to their words. Like, it is very rare you're going to hear anything from Taylor Jenkins that is even a little bit controversial. So I wasn't expecting him to come out and say anything that was exactly shocking, but I don't think that either of them did say anything shocking, but it was just nice to be able to hear from the people at the top what everybody else is already thinking in the moment, which is that was a great way for the season to conclude for the Grizzlies. Even if they didn't make the playoffs, they got about as far as they needed to go, especially with the injuries. And the future is bright. And it's one thing for me to say that, or you to say that, or any Grizzlies fan to say that. But to hear it from Zach and to hear it from Taylor just sounds better, you know, because they're around it more and they have this vision for the future. But at the same time, the one thing that I really wish that we would have gotten from the media sessions that we didn't get, and it's partly on the media's fault because nobody really asked this question, was I'm just curious to know what they think they need to do next to get better. And I don't know if they answered that question specifically, but it's easy to have faith that they have a plan and have an idea when you listen to something like that, because they're so calculated with everything that they say, and it's easy to tell, okay, that's not just media sessions. That's the way that these guys operate. And I think that to me was probably the most impressive thing about it.
I do agree completely. And that actually leads to my next question that kind of hits on the point that you ended your answer with. You know, what is next? What potentially is, you know, going to, you know, basically develop as the offseason goes on? Now, there's a lot of factors that are going into this offseason, a lot of factors that are uncharted waters for all of the NBA. But like you stated, they're careful and calculated with what they've done. Obviously, we only really have one offseason to go off of in terms of how they will act. And the home runs that they hit, the amount of activity, it was spectacular to see. Such a great contrast to what we were used to. But with how careful and calculated they are, and the roster that they've had and how successful it's been, I kind of feel like that both because they're the product that they have, they want to see it, you know, they want to follow through with it, they want to see how it develops, and also the uncertainty that's out there with COVID, I think that those factors could make this offseason a little bit less active and with a little bit less significant moves. Do you kind of get that feeling as well in terms of how the roster could construct itself over the offseason?
Yeah, I do too. I sort of think the same way. I think D'Anthony Melton is probably figuring out what you're going to do with him. And I think a lot of people believe that he's shown enough that it would be worth it to give him a contract and keep him around. And I think that the Grizzlies feel that way too. When you listen to what Zach Kleiman had to say about him in that media conference. So I guess one question to follow. The draft is a question to follow, but it just feels too early. And there will come a time, and the Grizzlies have been piling up these assets over, you know, the course of this year. It hasn't been a long time, but they've done a great job of getting the draft assets and building this thing and getting a base for the team so quickly. Now, they got a little lucky when they got John Morant, but they have done a fantastic job with all of that. There will come a time when they transition to spending those assets and spending big money to try and get another star or get another piece of this core together. I don't think it's going to be this offseason. It just seems a little premature. You've got Jaren on a deal for 3 more years. You've got Jaws still on his rookie contract, only 1 year in. So, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty quiet. That doesn't mean they won't do anything. I think they'll make some changes. But if you're hoping that they're going to find the replacement for Dylan Brooks on the wing, or that they're going to find the third big piece to their core to go along with Jaren and Ja, I just don't think that that's going to happen. Not this offseason.
I tend to agree with you. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Drew, and we'll go further into that in our second segment. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, here with Drew Hill, who's been kind enough to join us today. Drew, we just talked about the fact that we probably, you know, where there's a lot of speculation out there, we probably, though, won't see that big move. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But something that you kind of hit on a little bit in your piece, in your article, I believe, yesterday, Monday, about the draft is, you know, ways in which the Grizzlies could continue to build their assets or potentially make subtle moves to make their future even brighter. You talked about potentially moving up in this year's draft. Two other avenues we've seen the Grizzlies do are asset allocation and potentially putting together very creative ways of getting a talent that may be undervalued and bringing them into the fold, kind of like they did with Justice Winslow. Do you feel that the Grizzlies could go one of those routes this year that could be, I guess, considered the significant move of the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a possibility. I don't know if it's the smart move because there are so many challenges with this draft in particular. A big storyline to follow, and I saw Woj was tweeting earlier today from ESPN that it sounds like the draft is going to get pushed back from October. The main reason being because they have to decide on the salary cap, and that's going to be a battle between the union and the league to figure out what that's going to be, especially with decreasing revenue due to the pandemic. So that is the number one question at the forefront at the moment, because you can't have a draft without a salary cap, because you can't really trade veteran players without knowing how much money you can afford to take on or how much you're trying to lose. So that really makes things complicated. So they would have to get creative. The other option would be to trade draft assets for draft assets. They've got a first round pick from Utah and a first round pick from Golden State in their pocket as well. I don't think the Grizzlies are going to do that. I don't think that makes a ton of sense in a draft that, generally speaking, people say is lower in talent, is not as good as other draft classes. So on paper, it actually may not make a ton of sense for them to move up into the first round. Now, if they have a guy that they really like, and who's to say that they don't? There might be somebody out there who Zach Kleiman and company are watching and have fallen in love with, and they want to go get him. It does make sense, at least age-wise, to try, if you really think that this is going to be another key piece to your team, to move up and go jump into the first round and get a player, especially in a draft like this, where the pre-draft process is essentially non-existent, right? Probably going to be no combine. There's very little access to in-person workouts. So there's going to be a lot of teams, I think, that are going to feel strongly about players and feel like they can wait and be conservative and sit back or trade back in the draft and still end up with a really good prospect, especially in a draft class that's considered to be, quote, I'm doing air quotes right now, bad. So I think there's ample opportunity for Memphis to move up if they really want to move up. But at the same time, you could probably in this draft get a player that's as good as at pick number 40 as you can at pick number 14, which you gave to the Celtics. So it'll be interesting. It's all going to depend on if Memphis falls in love with somebody and they really want that to happen and they want to trade up and make the move, there's going to be opportunity for them to do that. It's going to get more clarity when they clear up the salary cap issue. But I'm not so sure that that's the smart thing to do. In my own eyes, I don't know if I would do that.
But I do think that it brings up a good point in that, you know, even though, you know, one avenue may not make sense, you know, there's a confidence level in this front office to make it make sense potentially, you know, to get creative and make it make sense if it could. You know, another thing, you know, we won't get into too much specifics because we got the whole offseason to talk about it. But one key area where the Grizzlies, you know, a lot of fans and a lot of folks really think, you know, they could add another talent or they really would like to see, you know, some certainty is the off guard position. You know, it seems like that Jonas, Jaren, Justice, and Ja are in the starting lineup, and the two big assets on the bench are Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark. But you saw, De'Anthony Melton struggles without Tyus Jones in the bubble. Grayson Allen emerge. Dylan Brooks struggle, obviously, in the bubble as well. The shooting guard position definitely seems to be one that, you know, kind of needs to figure itself out, and that may just be more games, obviously. Drew, do you think that there's a lot of emphasis that was put on the developments in the bubble versus what was seen during the season when the Grizzlies were playing better competition in the bubble? Do you think that that's going to have a big impact on what happens with DeAnthony or an increased role for Grayson, maybe a decreased role for Dylan, you know, next season? How big of an impact do you think that made from what you saw and kind of the reaction that the franchise had towards what developed in the bubble?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And maybe this is an unpopular answer, but I'm not sure that it makes a huge difference because I just think that the way we talked about Zach and Taylor is that they're super calculated guys. And I think this was a question that Zach Kleiman answered to some degree in the postseason media conference, where he said, yeah, we're going to look at the whole thing as one big process instead of bubble and non-bubble. You kind of have to take all of it into account. And so, yeah, again, I don't think they're going to do anything crazy at shooting. I'll be surprised, at least, if they make a big move to go get a shooting guard, or at least what they believe to be their shooting guard of the future this offseason. Just, I don't know if it makes a ton of sense to try and go do that at this point in time. But when it comes to DeAnthony, I think that when you season as a whole, it definitely makes more sense. Or he, to take into consideration the way that he played before the bubble, especially when you consider Tyus Jones went down and DeAnthony Melton's role changed. So I think they liked what they saw from DeAnthony Melton. And even though he didn't play that well in the bubble, I'm not guaranteeing they're going to bring him back or anything, but I think based on the way you've heard Zach talk and the way that he played over the course of the whole season, that seems like a pretty likely scenario.
Yeah. One thing that he definitely mentioned that, you know, they put a lot of value in a culture that can breed success. And that's something that they said DeAnthony definitely fit into. We're going to take our final break and be right back with Drew. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the roster and just some of Drew's observation, you know, from watching the Grizzlies this year. No matter how you choose to enjoy your daily routine, one option that I can suggest adding to it would be Built Bar. Whether it be in the morning as breakfast before or after a workout, or potentially as an afternoon snack, adding Built Bar would be a great addition to your day. It's unlike other protein bars in that it's both healthy and tasty. Typically, it's one or the other. Well, with Built Bar, it's both. And Built Bar offers a lot of versatility. There's a wide assortment of different flavors. My favorite is the peanut butter that you can choose if you go to BuiltBar.com, as well as other healthy potential things that you can enjoy, like adding, you know, different types of powder to your water to make your day even healthier than it already is. The great thing about Built Bar is that if you go there right now, you can actually get $10 off your next order by using the promo code Locked On. It used to be your first, now it's your next. But I can tell you this with confidence, it's not going to be your last. If you order Built Bar today, I really do think that it will become a part of your regular routine. Again, if you go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order through Built Bar. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, Drew, we've talked a little bit about DeAnthony Melton, and while, you know, the Grizzlies' first seven or eight players in the rotation, they seem pretty entrenched, like we mentioned last segment. You know, some names that, you know, either you could see traded for benefits or maybe odd fits in the Taylor Jenkins system: Kyle Anderson, Josh Jackson, Gorgui Dieng. You know, with Jackson, he's going to be a free agent. The Grizzlies are kind of limited on what they can do in terms of keeping him. Do you feel that we see, you know, two or more of those guys back into the equation? Do you feel like that if they're lost, that will be a focus on the Grizzlies to make sure they maintain their depth? How do you see those situations playing out kind of, you know, in the Grizzlies' eighth, ninth, and tenth guys in the rotation?
Yeah, the depth is obviously going to be important, but this isn't a shot at Josh Jackson or anybody, but I think once you're getting into that part of your rotation, there's not a huge difference between a great team, but a team that missed the playoffs, any team that missed the playoffs between their 8-9-10 guys and the Grizzlies 8-9-10 guys. So while Josh did play very well in some of the games leading up to the bubble and then didn't play in the bubble pretty much. So I just, if they move on from those guys, it is what it is. Like, I think that they'll be able to bring in players similar to that. I think that keeping the depth is important. But I don't think there's any reason to be distraught or stressed about, you know, the back end of that rotation changing up. I liked what I saw from Josh Jackson at times, but now that he's a free agent, to me, it just doesn't feel like, he's going to find a place where he is going to get a little bit more action than the Grizzlies, I would assume, or he would be happier in a place where he would play more than where he plays, than the amount he plays with the Grizzlies. But a guy like Gorgui Dieng, he's interesting because he was useful at times in the bubble, but then there's also times where he looks like he doesn't really fit because he doesn't run the floor very well. And that's what Memphis is trying to do. So with him, if he's a piece that you have to move, and he's a big, obviously he has a expensive salary. So if you are trading for somebody who's a little bit more expensive, he's probably going to get thrown in the deal. I don't know. I wish I knew how to answer that question better. I don't think that there's a big discrepancy between what the Grizzlies have on the back end and other teams. Do you think that there's a difference there?
I I think that the Grizzlies have a lot of they have that veteran presence in Anderson and Gorgui Dieng, but I do agree with you that there's probably not that big of a discrepancy or worry, because at the end of the day, with Taylor Jenkins' ability to develop the roster from top to bottom, which was a big asset and a big reason why we were able to exceed expectations, I figure that as he gets more of his guys into the rotation, you're only going to see this roster's depth continue to be strong and hopefully still find Jim. So I agree with you. While it is interesting to talk about just because that's where the activity could be, at the end of the day, it may not be that significant. The other question that I will ask, though, does center on who is significant in Memphis, and that is Ja Morant. Now, Drew, I don't know if this was ever your biggest tweet in the history of your tweets, but you put out a tweet, I believe it was you, that said Ja Morant, 21, just played four games or averaged this much statistics with a fractured wrist. And you saw it blow up. Everybody was saying that they did these things at different ages. For me, it would be I'm Sean Coleman at the age of 35, just transferred my first IRA ever. You know, all these different minuscule things compared to what Ja did. But the point that I bring up about that is that after the play-in game, we started to see just how much recognition Ja Morant got. We also saw the promotion come out, the ad deal that he got with Body Armor drink. Do we start to see the persona and the brand of Ja Morant really explode this offseason? I think that could be a big storyline as time goes on.
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see it increase. But it is kind of it's interesting that he played so well during the course of the season, yet when he finally was playing that game in the bubble against the Pelicans on ESPN, that felt like the most watched Ja Morant game of the season, or at least what it was going to be until the playing game, of course. And he played great in the playing game and not so great against the Pelicans. In the bubble game. And I think as the Grizzlies become more interesting and that sort of picks up steam and he's playing on TV and it's not the hardcore NBA fans on League Pass that are falling in love with Ja Morant, and it's the casual fan who's turning the game on the weekend that's on ESPN, whatever game that may be, and even if it's just in the background, once he's into that sphere, then we'll really see it take off. But for now, I think he's just one of the great young players in the NBA, and that his time will come. He's on the right trajectory, but he's not, as unfair as it may be, he's not to the superstar level of like a Zion quite yet or a Dame Lillard quite yet, but he's proven he can play with all those players. So it's just a matter of time, I think. He's on the right path. But it'll increase, but slowly, probably, this offseason, his stardom.
And, Drew, please correct me if I'm wrong. As far as Jaren goes, obviously the other, you know, the part of the pair that hopefully will, you know, make the Grizzlies a contender sooner rather than later. I mean, from the media sessions, we did learn that the meniscus has been operated on. It was quickly operated on, totally repaired, was not, removed, which is a good sign of things. Jaren's in Memphis working out. Everything seems to be full throttle for him getting back to 100% and just building on his very successful sophomore season as well, correct?
Yeah. That was good news to hear that it was just repaired. And I was curious when he was down there, he did stay with the team for a little bit, if he was going to immediately come back and have surgery, because sometimes it doesn't require surgery if it's minor enough. And so I figured, oh, well, if he's going to stay down with the team in the bubble, that's probably a really good sign. But he ended up coming back to Memphis. It's good news that it's repaired 100%. And I think that especially with now it looking like the season could get postponed and pushed back, I would expect that he's probably ready to go to start next season.
Just a lot of encouraging news. And like I said, like I mentioned the other, last episode, it's just so refreshing to be able to talk about, hey, we don't have a lot going on, but it's because of the success that we've had rather than, you know, talking about, you know, what's to come and dreading it because of what we've been through over the past few seasons. So it's a good position to be in, as I'm sure you feel as well. Drew, you mentioned that you do have a couple of things about basketball in general coming up. With as much information as you'd like to give us, where can, obviously, the Locked On Grizzlies listeners follow you? What can they expect here in the near future through you and the Daily Memphian? And what projects might you have as basketball dwindles down in the offseason gets going?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at DrewHill_DM. And you can read all of my work over at the Daily Memphian, as well as Chris Harrington, who also writes about the Grizzlies and is excellent. He does pieces every Tuesday, so you can check him out on Tuesdays. But I have a couple of enterprise, big-picture Memphis basketball things going on. I don't want to hint too much at what I'm working on. So I'm really excited about that. I think it'll probably be in the next couple of weeks after I get back from vacation that I'll really start diving into that. Also, when they do announce Ja Morant as the Rookie of the Year, I have something special I've had in the works for a while. So I would be sure to keep my eyes out, keep your eyes out, and look for that piece from me, because it's a heartwarming, feel-good story about Ja Morant. So be sure to be looking for that.
And off that, we can certainly also tell you, follow our show at Locked On Grizz. Follow myself at StatsSAC. This is the reason why we love having Drew on the show. Great insight, and also the consistent effort there to provide the best content possible for the Grizzlies. Drew, thank you so much, and please just stick on for a second after the show.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. That will do it for us on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Check us out on Friday. We'll discuss the special rookie year of Ja Morant and Brandon Clark, and we look forward to speaking with you then. Until then, have a great day, and thanks for listening to us on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.